Hi, thank you for having me. So today I'm talking about some results from, where's this little clicky thing? Oh, before we begin, my apologies. I'd just like to acknowledge that this conference is being held on Aboriginal land, and on the land of the Noongar Whadjuk peoples, and I'd also like to acknowledge that I live and work on the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and that sovereignty was never ceded. So I just want to introduce this study slightly first. I've been part of the research team for the 2018 Australian Transgender Diverse Sexual Health Survey. It was a community-led study on sexual health and wellbeing of transgender diverse people in Australia, which we're actually launching tomorrow. So there will be more about this throughout the conference, but this paper's today. So the report launch is tomorrow morning, and then there's a symposium later on in the day to kind of discuss it in a bit more detail. But so this is specifically talking about sexual health and hormones. So alterations to gender-affirming hormonal therapy for sexual reasons is kind of what I'm looking at today. And we're looking at alterations and kind of why people might do them, what they might want to be doing with them. For this particular research subject, we assessed using inductive thematic analysis of free text responses, while descriptive analysis of fixed responses were also undertaken for the data. We had 1,600, just over 1,600 participants for the survey. Just over 50% had accessed gender-affirming hormone therapy, or otherwise known as HRT, and 124 of those, which is 13% of the whole survey, had altered use for reasons relating to sex, and that's the group that I'm specifically looking at today. 40 people, 32% of that group, identify as non-binary and or genderqueer, and the rest of them identify with binary identities. So the question that I was asking in this research was, how and why do trans and gender diverse people alter gender-affirming hormone treatment for sex-related reasons? To kind of discuss that a little bit in more detail. So the questions we specifically asked in the survey were around hormone therapy affecting desires and around how people have sex. And these ones in bold here were questions that had open text responses, and the kind of qualitative data that came out of those is where I've based this particular bit of research. So what was found? I'll just find this slide, I apologise. There are two major themes that kind of came out of this that I was looking into, and those are the themes of reasons relating to the self and reasons relating to the other in terms of why people are taking hormones to affect sex-related things. And there are three specific sub-themes of these, and these are to alter sexual interest and libido, to improve sexual function and orgasm, and for health-related reasons that are unrelated to the first two. So some of the participants responded that, I found when I began to transition and got a decent sex drive due to hormones, I became more confident and more comfortable with my parts, or that their sex drive had become non-existent. For improving sexual function, participants talked about, I chose to increase my hormone dosage once I started ejaculating again, had a better sexual experience on T, and I'm way more naturally lubricated, and I just want my dick to work. And this was an online survey, so they wrote that emoji in themselves. And for health reasons, including atrophy of the penis or the vagina, bloating and things like that. And so those are kind of some of the reasons that people have specifically asked to alter hormones. Part of an important factor of all of this is self-determination, which is transgender diverse people making these decisions for themselves and out of their own wants and needs. Drivers there include curiosity, experimentation, especially around sex and sexuality. When things have happened that people like a little bit or don't like, they're able to actually explore new options and new ideas. So some of the kind of things that come out of the data there are, for example, wanting to confirm that I wanted to call myself a trans man or continue to be with my straight cis male partner at the time and identify as a woman, so this kind of self-conceptualization work. And I've experimented with taking higher or lower doses as well as cycling them over a monthly period to observe how my sex drive is affected so as to determine an acceptable dose. And this third one I especially find interesting, which is, changing their routine, basically changed from hormone recommendations of WPATH to having hormone levels of an actual woman, in their own words. And so really playing around with what is possible with and without the help of clinicians. The other major theme is taking hormones and altering hormones for reasons related to sex for other people. So under these three categories again, altering sexual interest and libido, I wanted to increase my libido as both my partner at the time and I miss sexual contact. Hormones have decreased my sex drive to virtually nothing. Also, my female partner wanted to see if I could have erections again for improved sexual function. The antiandrogens prevented me from being able to penetrate my partner, and she and I both found this to be frustrating. And for health reasons, my treatment was a gel. If my partner touched it, I could transfer to him, so I changed my treatment to an injection method. So there's kind of different conceptions around how people are using these and who they're using them for. The other kind of sub-theme related to this is how people are involving health professionals, which is that some of these changes were facilitated alongside health professionals and others were undertaken by themselves. It's worth noting that because these are open text options and we didn't ask questions specifically around how people are engaging health professionals, this is kind of out of some what we're able to code, but more people could be using or not using the advice of health professionals, and we don't really have that data at the moment, such as, I want to retransition, but the doctor wouldn't let me unless I tried testosterone for a month first. I asked my GP to decrease the dosage, and low libido caused by doctor's incompetency of HRT. There were also groups in the data set that wanted to change their hormones for reasons relating to fertility and sex work, but these were both quite low numbers. For fertility, 4 people out of that, I think 103, and for sex work, 2 people, which were variously constructed as both personal and external motivations, as in for sex work, for example, for themselves to be able to do this work and for clients and their expectations. But it's really worth noting that we can't extrapolate a lot from these small numbers. Really how we're engaging with particular communities in the study itself may, if we work with other communities or try and actually engage with communities in future studies, we could see if there's people from those, more people from the sex work community, more people engaging with fertility based reasons, and see more of what their concerns are. So for fertility, somebody wrote they got talked into trying for another child, and the rest of their responses were actually really, really sad around what happened after that process and how this was a really horrible experience for them. And somebody, for sex work related reasons, I originally stopped them as they killed my libido, and after a bad breakup, I wanted to experiment sexually. Now I'm on them intermittently as they affect my performance as an escort. Satisfaction and comfort also comes up in a lot of responses. 71% of people who responded in this particular section were satisfied with the outcomes of changing hormones for sex-related reasons, such as being more comfortable with my body has made me more capable of being in a relationship and more interested in pursuing romantic and sexual relationships, and it has improved my mood. And despite the downsides of HRT, being able to experience sex as my gender has been a massively positive experience. So in terms of interpretations and implications, it's safe to say trans and gender-diverse people do have sex. I think it's worth pointing out that it does happen and it's worth talking about. It's important to talk about. And that trans and gender-diverse people can and do alter their gender-affirming hormone treatment for sex-related reasons. And that needs to be kept in mind when we're talking about providing, supporting and changing hormones for people. One of the really big things that came out of this, which is something that I'm quite surprised by, well, not surprised by, but fascinated by, is the degendering narratives of gender-affirming hormone treatment. So the use of hormones traditionally divided into a binary of masculinizing and feminizing by health professionals. You take one set of hormones if you're heading in one direction and the other if you're heading in the other direction. It's this very binary sense. And participants were really moving away from these binary narratives and talking about how these hormones work, what they are, and what they do to their bodies. And this is coming from both binary and non-binary participants. So the importance of role, there's an importance in the role of non-binary participants, especially in their use of hormones, to not necessarily masculinize or feminize, but more to genderize or degenderize in terms of the way they talk about how their bodies are being affected in the directions that they want to go rather than the directions that they're being told they have to go. For example, at various times to get rid of my libido and to increase my libido and sexual function, being more comfortable with my body has made me more capable of being in a relationship and more interested in pursuing romantic and sexual relationships, and I lacked enthusiasm for relationship and sex. Increased hormone therapy, but it didn't really change considerably. And all three of these responses are from non-binary participants. Self-determination, again, is another major thing to come out of this. Participants were much more likely to do things for themselves than for others. Again, this comes down to how much we're able to code the data and read into what they're saying, but overwhelmingly people are saying, I did this because I was curious, I was unhappy, I was engaged, and rarely people saying somebody else wanted this or I was trying to do this because of societal expectations. And the importance of experimentation and the ability for participants to feel in control and to self-determine. There's a role in health professionals and sexual health organisations in supporting transgender diverse people to be able to self-determine, for example, not making assumptions about people's bodies and healthcare and needs and being able to ask questions, using an informed consent model, which we were talking about earlier, which is a fantastic way of engaging with what people want to do and helping giving them decisions. A parts and practices model, which has been developed by Dr. Viv McGregor as part of ACON's Checkout Clinic in Sydney, which is essentially where health professionals are asking about the body parts that clients and their lovers and their partners have and the practices that they're doing with them, but not making any assumptions about genders, sexualities, identities, and so you're finding out the health information you need to know without misgendering people or putting people in difficult situations about having to out partners. And also provision of guidance to safely alter gender-affirming hormone treatment may help better support the sexual lives of transgender diverse people in general. As I said, 71% of people who were able to actually access this form of change and alteration were happy, and I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind in terms of providing that level of hormonal support and taking into account people's wishes, wants and curiosities. Just some quick limitations on the study and this particular research. It is surface level research. We're asking very general questions about a large number of subjects, as I hope you will all hear tomorrow when you come to the launch. And so we can't extrapolate too much from this. We're also doing a thematic analysis of this research and of this particular population, and so there's a limited ability to extrapolate further into the population. We're also relying on self-divulged qualitative answers to draw conclusions, for example, if the role of doctors was important or not important, and so it's worth noting that they are general themes, but not themes that we're applying specific statistical numbers to, because we just don't have that data. And also that the wording of questions potentially could have led participants to draw a link between gender-affirming hormone treatment and desire. So question 80, from your perspective, how does or did hormone therapy affect your desire to have sex could have created a link that participants may not have had previously, and it's just worth thinking about that when people are expounding heavily on the subject. I just want to thank so many people who helped out this research. I won't name them, but they are here. And all of my co-researchers who are working on this project. And yeah, thank you very much.